Thanks for tuning in. You're listening to the best animated shows ever, so far, with MC and Troy.
I'm Troy.
And I'm MC.
And this is the best animated shows ever. So far. I don't know if it was my turn. I just went for it, MC. I took the reins and I said, it's my turn now, MC.
It was your turn.
Oh, good. We are here today to talk to y'all about Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 1987 edition, episode 2, Enter the Shredder. But before that, MC, I have some behind the scenes stuff that I was going to talk about last week and then I didn't get a chance to. So first of all, you want to get weird? Let's get weird. Do you know the name Chuck Lorre?
No.
Chuck Lorre is television writer and producer who you know from his work on Three and a Half Men and Big Bang. No, Two and a Half Men, excuse me, and Big Bang Theory.
Okay. Oh, okay. Yeah, that I'm like, I don't think I know who that is. It's one of the head producers of those shows. The problem with that is I don't watch either of those shows.
You've watched Big Bang Theory. You can't tell me you've never seen any Big Bang Theory.
I've seen a few episodes, but I don't like watch those shows.
Everybody has seen some Big Bang Theory. It's impossible to avoid. Now, I hear you asking, MC. Hey, Troy, how is he connected to the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles? Did he, like, write for the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles early on in his career as a television writer? Now, I can understand why you'd think that, being that he's a television writer. But no, he did not, MC. He did something much more important. He wrote the theme song for the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Oh, my God, really?
Yeah, apparently, before he started writing TV shows, he was a musician. And they had asked the band The Turtles to write the theme song for the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, but it didn't work out for some reason. And so they hired Chuck Lorre to do it. And the voice in the theme song that goes like, he's a radical rat, that's Chuck Lorre's voice. He made the theme song.
Oh,
good on you, Chuck Lorre. Good job. Because that theme song is fantastic.
I'm not joking. I told my mom that we were talking about this on the podcast this week, and she actually started singing the theme song. That's how much I watched it as a kid. It's still stuck in her head.
That's fantastic. I also want to talk a little bit about the writing of the show. So this first season is 5 episodes that were all written together by David Weiss and Patty Howeth. And Patty Howeth, I think this is all she's done. I think if I remember right, let me check my sources really quick. My sources are letting me down. I think they were married, and that's where she got her writing credit from, was because she was just like helping him out, figuring out the story. Hey, it's time for a jingle where I Google some stuff.
There was a guy named Troy Dunham. Some answers, how would it find them? Just Google that stuff all day long. Google that person, Google that place, Google it all, cause there is no place to remember any reason, remember any why. All we do know is that we're gonna die. Yeah, I'm gonna die. Yeah, you're gonna die. Yeah, Troy, you're gonna die. Yeah, Google it.
Did you Google that thing?
I'm trying to Google that thing, but I'm like not finding that thing, which is really confusing. Hang on. Let's go here and then here and then here. Huh. I can't find anything confirming or denying my, supposition that they were married. I can tell you that Patty Howeth does have another writing credit on Chip 'n Dale Rescue Rangers. Anyway, she don't have a Wikipedia page, so I can't tell you too much about her. But what I can tell you is I can tell you a little about David Weiss, who was the other person who wrote the show. So his career started on Star Trek, the animated series, which is awesome. He was 16 and started writing for for Star Trek the Animated Series. He's written for Buck Rogers, Wonder Woman, He-Man, Transformers, The Turtles, Batman the Animated Series. Oh, what's that? Batman the Animated Series? How interesting. I wonder what he wrote on Batman the Animated Series. Was it anything good? Oh, well, he just wrote The Clock King. The guy who made the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles TV show happen wrote The Clock King, and I'm very excited about it. Why are you staring at me like that?
Because The Clock King is your favorite villain, the one that times everything down so he can fight Batman.
Correct.
That's correct, right? Yes. I was trying to remember the episode. Yes.
MC, his first line in the episode is he goes, "It's about time." Because it's about time. It's about
time, yes.
Anyway,
he's so punny.
It is funny, but it's great. December 15th, 1987, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 2, Episode 2, Enter the Shredder. Take away, MC.
Well, they're down in the sewer or down in the tunnels that the Megadrome has left.
Essentially, they're... Excuse you.
Oh, yes, Technodrome.
Good.
And April comes in and wakes them up, and they have pizza and stuff, I guess, before that. But really, it's all about getting into the tunnels and finding Shredder's massive machine tunneling thing.
Yeah, that's like the goal.
And
for
introducing
the mini quest for this episode is find the Technodrome.
Yeah, but the main reason I want to get through this is because one of my favorite characters is coming up. And it's in the scene in the Technodrome with Shredder. And he gets ordered to come down to see someone else. And you're like, wait a minute, isn't this guy supposed to be the boss? And then when he goes down, there's this brain-looking thing with tentacles. And it's Krang. Krang. I freaking love Krang. Because he's so arrogant and, like, he's such a good bad guy.
And he is just a brain right now. Like, he's a brain with a face and some tentacles.
Yeah. And he's ordering Shredder to make him a robot body. And Shredder's like, yeah, I can't trust you, so I'm not going to do that.
Which seems fair. But then Krang's like, what if I could tell you how to defeat your enemies? Then would you trust me? And Shredder's like, perhaps, but first tell me how to defeat my enemies. And I kind of expect Krang to be like,
yeah, that's what I just said.
Yeah, I think that was a pretty good Krang. I'm proud of myself for that. That was not bad.
That was a really good Krang. Yeah, I love Krang. He's a lackey, and he also thinks he's like the smartest person in the room or at all times. So he also thinks that he's the boss.
Yeah, well, so his big thing here, the thing he's dangling over Shredder is that he has access to Dimension X, where he comes from, and where he apparently has, like, armies waiting for him. And so he's like, listen, Shredder, you scratch the back of my brain-shaped body, and I'll scratch your back with an army of demons from Dimension X. And that's kind of the arrangement that they're working on.
And also all this technology.
Yeah. I was very excited that, like, my notes are three lines in a row in all capital letters says, Technodrome and Krang and Dimension X. I was just very excited that all of that is, like, right here at the very beginning. Because I did not remember that all that stuff got introduced in episode 2.
No. Yeah. It's episode 2. I've totally forgot that was exactly when we learned about all of Dimension X. We don't know what Dimension X is yet, but we know of it, like, at episode 2.
Right.
And it's like, what? That, okay, there's a plot point. Like, I forgot there was, like, overarching, like, massive stories that went from, like, multiple seasons. in this show. And I think that's why I liked it as a kid. Like, it was like, it seemed as one continuous story. Whereas some cartoons are just episodic, like they're very, like, you can just watch them in any order.
Yeah, well, this, I mean, Turtles from my memory has plenty of that, plenty of the episodic things, but it's also got a lot of this kind of stuff where it, like, just, I mean, this season in particular is one 5-episode long story basically, but there are those persistent elements like Dimension X and Krang, and it's so good. It's so good. Anyway,
the bad guys. Oh, we cut back to the Turtles and April and Splinter all talking about finding the Technodrome, and Splinter's like, "I can sniff it out," essentially, and they.
Yeah, he'll sniff that down like a rat or weasel.
Cause, yeah.
Like, hey, Donatello, chill out, man. I think that Splinter's pretty secure with his identity as a rat. I don't think you're going to offend him. He seems with it.
No matter what happens, Splinter is always zen about it. Like,
he's chill.
Like, When he was the head dude and he just got thrown out and he just left Japan and went to New York, he was living down in the sewers in New York with the rats and just going with it. And then he gets mutated and he keeps going. It's like nothing's really changed for him. It's really weird.
Dude, that Shredder.
Splinter.
Shredder's not a good dude, but... Shredder does have a plan now. Krang gave him the idea of, like, well, if there's mutants on the other side of the fight, then maybe you need some mutants of your own. And he's like, yes, I could get even more violent animals to be my mutant protégés. So he sends some... he's got so many robots.
He laughs like that.
Just make the robots a little better, and then he would be fine. But instead, he like comes up with all these ridiculous plans. And he sends the robots to go steal some animals.
Are we not going to address Shredder's ridiculous laugh?
What does it sound like?
It's like the mwahaha, but it like stops and then starts over again. It's mwahaha, mwahaha, mwahaha.
Ladies and gentlemen, we really appreciate your support of the best animated shows ever so far, and we want to give you as many ways to support the show as possible. So coming soon to iTunes, you'll be able to get a ringtone of MC's version of the Shredder laugh. Coming soon to iTunes near you. It'll be a great ringtone. You can have it play every time you get a text message from your mom.
But what they do is they send the robots to go collect animals.
Mm-hmm.
They're the weird ones with one wheel, aren't they?
He's got like 87 different kinds of robots. I didn't catalog them and assign them a scientific name.
Wait 1 second.
Soulless wheelless. The hobbly do. I was editing our Restaurant to Another World episode the other day, and I got to where I had to look up the name of hops, and I need to remember what the name of hops are. So every time I want to make a reference to like a scientific sounding name, I can say the name of hops, but I do not remember what they are. So you know what that means? I'm gonna have to Google it again.
Just Google that stuff, yeah, Google that stuff, yeah, Google that stuff all day long. Google that stuff, yeah, Google that stuff, yeah, Google that stuff all day long.
Humulus lupulus.
Now we're back from the jingle. I just want to point out Troy did a little happy finger pointing dance as he was going to Google something.
Well, I was dancing to the jingle in my head, even though it wasn't actually playing here. I should get a soundboard that just has that jingle on it so I can just smash the button every time I want to Google something. I wonder if there's a way for me to do that.
So these weird robots, they've got a weird shape to them. They've got like a UFO head, then they have like a torso, and then they have one wheel at the bottom. And like whip-like appendages come out of the side of the torso and then suck back in, I guess. And they lasso a rhino and a wild boar.
Yep. And then just drag them down into the sewers and then look over at some guy who was at the zoo having a good day. And they're like, "We hope you have a pleasant day." And they disappear into the underground.
He tips his hat.
Yeah,
the top of his head, he just tips it.
Well, he doesn't want to be rude.
Cut back to us seeing the turtles down in the sewer. They're swinging on ropes and stuff. They're bouncing around down there. While
Splinters... this is where they find a trail, but it requires burrowing in a way that the turtles can't do. So Splinter's like, "I've got this under control. You find another way around, suckers."
Yeah. And Splinter decides to go it alone.
Mm-hmm. So the turtles have to crawl up onto the surface, into the surface world of New York City, up in the Big Apple, in the big city, in the big kahuna, in the big metropolis, in the big steel jungle, in the big land of iron towers, in the big village, in the big Times Square, in the big...
This is going nowhere. I don't know what you expected. I wasn't gonna jump in. I was just going to wait for you to break. Troy's losing it right now.
Oh, man. So they see a billboard for a big pizza, and they're like, "That's a good-looking pizza." Hey, wait, Channel 6 News. Isn't that where April works? Cut to inside Channel 6 News, where her boss is like, "April, you're the worst, because you've been missing forever. Anyway, go check out the zoo robbery."
You missed the scene where Splinter goes and talks to the punks to get a couple of them.
Oh, yeah. Splinter's recruiting pitch where he's like, "I need a couple." No, wait, you've got Shredder. The Splinter voice. Can they just change names? Oh, I just said the bad word. Oh, no, MC. Now I've got to edit things. So Splinter is like, "Hey, you punks.
Shredder.
I need..." Did I really do it again?
Yeah. Like, immediately.
Shredder is like, "Hey, you punks. I need a couple of you for an experiment." And they're like, "No." Which, appropriate. And he's like, "But it'll make you really strong if I just can scientifically experiment on you." And they're like, "No." And he's like, "But the power of 10 men." And they're like, "No." And he's like, "You could fight innocent turtles." And they're like, "Okay. Now can we go to Channel 6 News?"
And they get strapped down and the animals get dragged in and the mutagen gets popped on them.
What you doing with animals? Yeah.
Yeah, that was a good impersonation.
Was it? I don't remember. MC, am I drunk really this matter. Time? What happened? Holy smokes.
I don't know. Maybe it's what you were experiencing before the episode. You just feel need to be lighthearted a little bit.
I was playing Final Fantasy VII before we started recording today, y'all, and I got up to that part. If you know Final Fantasy VII, you know which part I mean, and it made me really sad. And so that's where I'm at emotionally right now. Anyway,
and we're goofing off talking about cartoons now, so
So then April comes to the turtles and is like, I got a big story. There's been a break-in at the zoo. Which, okay. Because I guess what intrigues her, she's like, a zoo robbery? That's boring. And then he's like, they were dragged underground by robots. And she's like, oh. Oh, well then. And her boss is like, why are you talking like that? And she's like, I just have a little bit of an idea about what might be happening with these robots right now. Okay, I don't care. Will you just get out there and do your job? Uh-huh. I will do my job. And investigate the zoo robbery and the robots.
And then she heads outside, and who's there but the turtles dancing, dressed in, I guess, punk or streetwear?
I don't... One of them looks like Elton John. I don't know. They've got a lot going on. Oh, I forgot to mention, they're wearing glasses in this scene, like super cool sunglasses.
Yeah.
But way back at the beginning of this episode, when they are getting woken up by April, they sleep. They have their knee pads and their elbow pads they wear when they sleep. But they take their bandanas off and they hang them on the side of the bed like their glasses. And I thought that was really cute. I was like, ah. And then as soon as they wake up, Raphael's like, oh, where's my bandana? And he has to put it on like it's his glasses in the morning, which as both glasses wearing people, I know that feel of like, oh, I can see again.
I can see okay without my glasses. Mm. So it's not like that for me. I normally know where they are. Like, I can get up out of bed, get dressed, and then go find them.
Oh, God. I put them on while I'm still sitting in the dark so that I don't have to face the fact that I can't see without them on. They're the first things I put on in the morning and the last things I take off at night.
But, yeah, I don't know that, Phil, but I can understand, like, going... Like, the worst that mine is if I don't wear them for, like, during the day, I get a headache.
Mm.
I get, like, I've just got, like, middle distance. But, like, it gets a bit blurry. But other than that...
I can't see anything without them. I mean, it's been a recurring thing in my relationship with my wife where I make fun of her for being blind. She actually has much better vision than me, but because she has better vision than me, she will more frequently than me not have her glasses on and then comment on how something's blurry because she doesn't have her glasses on, at which point I make fun of her for being blind. But my vision is like 3 times as bad as hers. It's just I never take my glasses off. So, yeah, my vision's bad. Anyway, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Turtles in a half show.
Total power. So she's like, hey, I found out that there's a robbery in the zoo where some robots dragged some animals into a cave. Let's go. And then they go and then they drop down into the hole and they're like, we can do this without you, April, because you'll just muck it up because you're a girl. And then they get sucked into the hole and fall down the cliff because they're incompetent. And then... there's the Technodrome and they go inside and it's the scene in the trash compactor from Star Wars.
Yeah, pretty much. And Leonardo cuts open a circuit board and Donatello rubs a couple of wires together and they get out. And then it cuts to April on the phone with someone asking for a camera and she's like, fine, and then hangs up like all disappointed. And then it gets back to the turtles, again, in their trash compactor. Cuts back to the turtles somewhere.
They're in the like, manufacturing area.
Yeah.
And a bunch of robots come at them.
Yeah. And you see the variety of robots that Shredder has now, with, like, big ones and small ones, some with lasers that look like aliens.
Wait, MC. Big one, small one, some the size of your head.
I don't see any of the size of my head. They're quite big. They're medium size, but they're
even
not
the
that
small,
small
ones are bigger than my head.
Yeah. But they're like throwing saw blades and firing lasers and one has a giant claw hand that picks up one of the turtles. It's just
it
like
has
a
claw
massive
face,
claw hand
excuse
with
me.
Legs. Yeah, yeah. It's like, a massive claw with legs.
In this fight scene, it's cool action and stuff. Like, all of that's fine. It's, I mean, it's, you know, 80s cartoon action. So it's not like right home about it. But I like that the turtles are quipping throughout this fight scene. I think that's very good. I think Turtles and Spider-Man both have that as like a requirement. If you make a Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles story or a Spider-Man story where they don't quip during the fight scenes, you've done a bad job. But the quipping is great because there was one I noticed in particular that I was like, this is very good character stuff in the middle of the quipping because like, you know, one of them's like, "Taste steel, shellhead," and you know, all these quips. And then it cuts to Donatello who goes, "Turtles fight with honor." And I was like, yeah, yeah, Donatello, you would think that that's a good quip for the middle of a fight. You nerd, you freaking nerd. I'm Donatello. So I can call him, I can make fun of him for being a nerd because, you know. Anyway, I just thought it was funny. Turtles fight with otter. Like, okay. Okay, dude. Calm down.
I'm not really any. I'm more of a mix of Donatello and Mikey.
Mm-hmm. We went over this in episode 0 of our podcast where we played FMK for the Turtles. Oh, shoot. Do we say the F word in our episode 0? And I've been trying so hard to have us not swear.
Maybe.
I think we do. Huh. Well, huh. Huh. Anyway, so they fight all the robots and beat them up, and then they find Splinter, and he's all tied up.
Oh, yeah. And he's hanging up in the air as well, isn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's not cool, Splinter. Fuck. Shredder. It's not cool, Shredder. Why is this so hard for me?
You know what's even funnier?
Mm.
I have to stop and think about it.
Well, I'm glad it's not
I
just
instinctively
me.
Know.
Oh, it is just
but,
me.
Like, no. Like, if I stop and think about it, I know exactly who you're talking about in context, but my head goes, wait, did I say that first? Is that why he's saying that?
I have
to correct you, but I might have switched them around as well earlier on. I have no idea.
Probably got them wrong. I don't know. So, Shredder is like, I have captured your master's Splinter, and explains the origin that, like, I am the Wait, no, you do the Shredder voice. Tell him what he tells him.
Oh, man. I am the reason that you exist. Except, oh God, I'm trying to do the voice, but my throat's a little bit sore.
You had it.
Yeah. Wait, here. I'm the reason you exist. The only reason you exist is because I kicked out Orochi Marshall. No, wait. What's his name?
Yoshi.
Sorry. Yeah,
dang it, MC,
Amada
you
Yoshi.
Said the bad word.
I said the bad word.
So he's
I'm the reason that you came to Japan. He came from Japan to New York, and he was down in the sewers, and I'm the one who sent down the mutagen to, which turned you into human-like beings.
Right.
I can't remember what he actually says.
I guess he did on purpose that he wanted to turn him into a rat. But he didn't take into account that, according to Krang, he would get the powers of the rat. Which I'm like, what are the powers of the rat? Okay, whatever. Anyway,
well,
so
no,
then Shredder's like...
Here's the thing.
Hmm?
Did he also think that maybe it would make him dumber?
I think he was wanting him to mutate into, like, a little tiny little rat that cannot speak. And will eat some rat poison and die. But he's like, I've got, listen, Splinter's got four mutants. Well, since Splinter's got four mutants, I decided to make two mutants. There's one, two, three, four of you, but I made two.
he's thinking they're just turtles, and these creatures are from wild boar, which I'm not sure if people know about wild boars or why boars were on old like house standards and stuff, why they were a symbol of strength. But those things are crazy.
Yeah.
Like, they're crazy strong, and they will run you down and kill you, and they have, like, massive tusks and stuff. That you don't mess with wild boars.
You know, it's
and
interesting.
And he also got a rhino.
It's interesting that he chose two animals with charging instincts, because the way that the turtles defeat them is they go up to the zoo and stand in an open cage and get the Bebop and Rocksteady to charge at them and then close the cage again.
Oh, yeah, and even before that, when they're just fighting in the Technodrome, they charge from either side, and the turtles just jump straight up into the air and climb upwards.
It's kind of like
they run into
one
each
move.
Other. Yeah.
Their and one strategy is run real fast.
They escape. Then... what happens?
Well, they go up to the zoo and they catch Bebop and Rocksteady. And April's like, I'm not even going to get a story out of this. And they were like, why don't you film these mutants in a cage and vilify the mutant race on public TV for all of America to see? Which seems like a weird strategy for the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles to employ. But that's what they go with for some reason.
Yeah.
And then they drive away in April's news van.
I mean, they're not the mutants that are getting put on TV. I don't think they care as long as they stay ninja-like and hidden.
But that's just, it's drumming up anti-mutant sentiments, and they are themselves mutants. It just, I don't know. It seems weird that they would, you know, want to, like, vilify Bebop and Rocksteady for being criminals, not for being mutants. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, that would be more... along what I would think as well. Like, just because they're different, they shouldn't be vilified.
Right.
Because and they're bad guys, they really should be vilified. Yes.
Right, exactly.
They're violent criminals.
Yes. And they were before they're immunes. So then some robots cut up out of the ground, and they're like, Master Shredder would like outward with you. And Bebop and Rocksteady are like, "Duh, can we stay in this cage instead?" And then the robots drag them away.
It doesn't matter which one you're talking like, Bebop or Rocksteady. That's their voice in my head every single time they talk.
It's not. I don't think it's far off.
No. It's not both their voices.
And then. That's the end of the episode.
Yeah, so we get some really major characters that keep turning up throughout the whole show. We get Krang. We get Shredder again. There's Bebop and Rocksteady. There's some of the bad guys that we see throughout the entire show for... next 4 or 5 seasons. I can't remember how many.
There are 10 seasons of this show.
There we go.
When this show went off the air, it was at the time the longest running cartoon ever, and then it was passed by The Simpsons. But yeah, 10 seasons.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure Bebop and Rocksteady keep being goons. I think they get a little smarter somewhere along the line. But, I mean, when you continuously get beat up by the same four turtles, you're going to learn something.
Yeah. Oh, man. Next episode. MC, next episode is called A Thing About Rats. Is this the one that's got... have you watched it yet?
No.
Oh, I watched the whole season. I won't tell you what happens, but let's just say we're going to meet another character. Another a beloved character. But before we go, MC...
Wait. Can I ask just one question about this beloved character? Does he wear a hockey mask?
No, no, not that beloved.
Okay,
character.
So it's not that one.
Casey Jones, apparently in the animated series, never seen without his mask on. Not once does he take his mask off.
Oh.
I was reading some trivia this morning, and apparently, yeah, he always has his mask on in the animated show, which I did not realize. MC, if you were going to be mutated by an evil madman in a technodrome, what animal would you least prefer he mutate you into?
Least
prefer.
Centipede.
Oh, that's a good one. You'd be so gross. You'd have all kinds of wiggling legs and stuff. But would they be human legs? You'd be a taxon from the Animorphs. Oh.
Here's my question. Not just which one you would least, but most want to be mutated into.
I don't want to be mutated into an animal. That's why I went with least, because it's going to be bad no matter what.
Here's the thing. If it's going to happen anyway, what would it be? If you could choose.
If I would choose not to be mutated by an evil madman ninja in a technodrome.
It's going to happen no matter what, but you get to choose the animal.
What is... This person's horrible that this is doing this to me. Like,
listen, yeah. I'm going to turn you into a horrific monster, but... You could have your pick of horrific monsters. Which would you like?
I don't know, man. My least would be a hummingbird. I don't want to be a hummingbird. Most would be something that could let me escape. Maybe. I don't want to be mutated. I don't want to be mutated, MC. You can't make me. I refuse. See you next time on the best anime shows ever so far. I have got the power to end this episode, and I'm ending it right now.
Thanks for listening to the best animated shows ever so far. Find the show on Twitter at BaseSFCast or email us at BaseSFCast@gmail.com. That's BaseSFCast. Our intro music is Funnin' and Sunnin', and our outro music is Motivator, both by Kevin MacLeod at incompetech.com and licensed under Creative Commons by Attribution 3.0 license. Thanks again for listening, and tune in next time.
This has been a presentation
of the We Can Make This Work
Probably Network.
Follow us on Twitter
at Probably Work for more of our questionable content.
Also, we have a website called probablywork.com.
Are you a fan of high fantasy epic book series that are converted into television series? No, not that one. I mean an epic book series that is actually complete. I'm referring to The Wheel of Time, Robert Jordan's fantasy masterpiece that was completed posthumously by Brandon Sanderson. Well, I have the perfect podcast for you. The Taveren is a Wheel of Time podcast where three gentlemen go through the series one chapter at a time, in their own special way. Follow along as Bill, Rob, and Rich re-experience this great epic. Experience for yourself. A world full of vibrant locations, colorful characters, and storylines that will never fail to surprise. Visit a world that Game of Thrones can only wish was as fleshed out and complete. The Taveren, a Wheel of Time podcast, is part of the We Can Make This Work Probably network of podcasts. Find our podcast wherever you get your podcast feed, or visit probablywork.com for episodes of this podcast and other great shows. We will see you at the Winespring Inn.
Panther. Panther's the right answer.
Oh, I definitely thought you said panda.
No, panther.
Oh, but panda would be good too. Like, you could just be a big old panda bear. You'd just be like cuddly and sleepy.
Kung Fu Panda.
No, not a Kung Fu Panda, just a cuddly sleepy panda. Right. I'm gonna stop it. I'm gonna put that after at the end. It'll be good. I know what I'm gonna do with it. Anyway.